This is Saturday with Claire Byrne. You're very welcome to get in touch. We'll be delighted to hear from you. Our text number is 51551. Email saturday@rte.ie and our Twitter address is @SaturdayRTE. First today, the Labour Party conference is being held in Enfield in County Meath. And from there, we're joined by the Minister for Social Protection, Joan Burton. Joan, you're very welcome. Thank you for taking the time to join us because I know you have a busy day there.
Thank you, Claire. We're inside. It's hail and probably a bit of sleet and snow outside. So it's very warm atmosphere here at the conference. Lots of people meeting up with campaign friends and gearing up for the local and the Europeans.
Okay, we'll come to that in just a moment. But first of all, I want to ask you about the story really that's been dominating the news today, this week, the alleged bugging of the Garda Ombudsman Commission. It's been an extraordinary week by anybody's standards, and there have been calls and there are still calls for an independent inquiry to get to the bottom of it. What's your view?
Well, the Minister has rightly undertaken to go into the committee next week. And I think it would be important that the issue is resolved as quickly as possible, because we're talking about two extremely important institutions in the country. First of all, the Gardaí, and secondly, the Oversight Commission, which in modern democracies, Gardaí and police authorities are oversighted. So that there is, if you like, accountability to people dedicated to doing that and with some expertise in the issue. I think what is really important is the Minister, as he said himself, has to support, as Minister, both organisations. I think it's important.
Has he done that,
from a Labour Party point of view, because we're strongly in support of the operation of a good ombudsman in relation to the Gardaí. It's essential to high quality modern policing. I think the Gardaí and the Commissioner acknowledge that as well. So I think hopefully next week we'll give Minister Shatter an opportunity to resolve the issue.
Okay, meaning that he hasn't done so already, and you say you're strongly supportive of the Ombudsman. I just wonder whether you believe that Minister Shatter has shown equal measure of support for both the Gardaí and the Ombudsman, because we saw last week that he was very quick to bring Simon O'Brien in to tell him off for not telling him about the incident in the first place, which really speaks to the independence of that office.
Well, I do think that the Minister should have been advised by the Ombudsman's office in relation to what happened.
They weren't obliged to. We know that now.
No, I know in law that they may do that. I think, given that it is a very serious matter, if somebody had some kind of attempt to in some way or other interfere with the Ombudsman's office, which has to be independent and which has to be secure, that's a very serious matter. And I think correctly, Minister Shatter took the most serious view of it, as did properly the Garda Commissioner. Now, remember, they're both organisations, and the Minister for Justice, are committed, if you like, to having an efficient and effective Garda force in Ireland. It's tremendously important for everybody in the community, the kind of work that the Garda do, and they have huge community respect.
Okay.
But from time to time, there are issues that do have to be inquired into, and that's the role of the Office of the Ombudsman.
And we know what their function is. So we very much need
both offices, and Minister Shatter, I think, has an opportunity next week, hopefully, to resolve the situation.
He gave an explanation to the Dáil, and we have seen and heard what GSOC have had to say about it all and what they told the Minister. Now, there are some discrepancies in what the Minister presented to the Dáil and what GSOC said to him. Do you think he should correct the record?
Well, the Minister, as I said, will be going into the committee. He agreed to do that when he was asked. I think that he has been extremely forthright in, if you like, commenting on a situation that has evolved over a period of time. I think, quite frankly, Claire, it's a mystery to most people because it's an area that most people are not terribly familiar with. So, but I do think in terms of our democracy and the oversight of the Gardaí, it is important that, as the Minister said yesterday, he is required to have confidence in both the Commissioner and in the ombudsman, because he
How does
has to work with
okay?
both for
We understand that, and you've
for the
said that.
benefit of everybody.
We understand that, but is Labour happy at how this has been handled by Minister Shatter and by the Taoiseach, both of whom made reference to and focused on the fact that the minister hadn't been told, and government also focused on the fact that there was a leak coming from the ombudsman, not the possibility that the
Well,
ombudsman's office was being spied upon, which surely is the main cause for concern here.
Clara, there's actually been a sequence of events over the last week where, over a period of time, more knowledge has come into the public domain. I think when most people heard about it originally in a very reputable Sunday paper last Sunday, people were quite puzzled. We got more clarification as time passed. As I said, the Ombudsman, of course, has the option and may communicate with the Minister personally, and I've said it before. I do think that the Commission should have communicated with the Minister,
Okay, and they've said
because
they regret that. Well,
it's a serious issue.
and you've made that point, but what I'm asking you is Labour happy with how this has been dealt with thus far?
Well, would we prefer that the episode had never happened and that there had never been any doubt in relation to the integrity of the communication system? I mean, bear in mind that the Ombudsman's Commission did what I expect organisations like that probably do on a routine basis from time to time, which is that they had a sweep in relation to potential
Well, we're told it wasn't.
surveillance
We're
of
told
any
it
kind.
wasn't routine. That it was
Well,
sparked by a specific incident.
I understand that they may have had some previous sweep at some stage. I would have thought, in terms of modern technology, surveillance and hacking, that it would be something, in my view, that would be appropriate to do.
Okay,
So I
I
think
want to
that's a
move on, but
sensible thing to
I
do.
also want to be very clear on this, that aside from the Garda Ombudsman Commission deciding not to tell the minister about this, that you're happy with how it's been dealt with by government.
Well, I think that it is something that's terribly important. The minister will be going into the committee next week and he will have an opportunity to resolve it. I know that some people in opposition, Clare, have called almost immediately for something like a commission of inquiry. As a country, we've had a huge number of inquiries at enormous cost to ordinary taxpayers. I think it is possible to resolve this. I think the minister is the man to do it, and I look forward very much to him doing that when he goes into the committee next week. I
Okay.
don't think we need to run to establish a commission at the drop of a hat. I think we need to try and find out first exactly what the risk was, what action has been taken to prevent that happening again, and equally, clearly, the Garda Commissioner has some queries that, if they are passing confidential information, if there is a security risk in terms of potential surveillance on the Ombudsman, the Garda Commissioner obviously has to satisfy himself about that. So I think it's a case where, having identified all the facts in what has been a rolling story, and I think there are
All right.
suggestions we'll hear more tomorrow,
Okay.
we then need, but we need to have an Ombudsman's Commission. And as I said, I welcome the fact that the Minister expressed his confidence in it yesterday and
Okay.
in all of the members.
Okay, Minister, we want to move on now. Another story making headlines today. The row, we're told, between Minister for Health James Reilly and the Minister for Public Expenditure Reform Brendan Howlan over universal health care. It seems pretty nasty, given what we saw in the Irish Times today, that Brendan Howlan's department seems to be telling James Reilly that what he's proposing is a threat to the state's financial stability. What's going on?
Well, first of all, I haven't had an opportunity to, if you like, see this other than what's been in the papers this morning. Just let me say, as a minister with a very large budget, if I was perhaps to tell some of your listeners of some of the discussions I've had with DPIR, I think it might freeze up their blood. But they're discussions.
So you
And
have
remember,
robust robust discussions with Brendan Howlan.
extremely robust, both at official level between officials, which I think at the moment is where this discussion is at. But remember, in the wake of the collapse of the state's finances, one of the things that was insisted on was that we would actually look at and evaluate projects undertaken to see that we get value for money for taxpayers and to see that we get the best possible outcomes. Now, I have to say, I don't think that that is in any way any kind of, if you like, threat to any organisation or position. I think it's something that is just sound common sense. Mm-hmm. Is it a tough process? All I can say is that from my experience, yes, it is, and you have to argue your case.
You're trying to woo supporters, though, there today, but it might seem odd to them that the Labour Minister is arguing against such a thing as universal healthcare and the Fine Gael guy is for it.
No, I think that would be deeply unfair to Brendan Howland because the Labour Party is extremely anxious to see a universal health insurance system. Now, we have made it clear in discussion that we're not particularly keen on the Dutch model, which appears to be highly expensive for individual families and purchasers of health insurance. And of course, for low-income families, the government public expenditure would actually pay for their universal health insurance. So it's terribly important that we actually get this right. And I think a robust debate about how we do that and what the likely cost to families is. Some very high costs have been quoted in relation to models in other countries. And I know this myself from talking to people in other countries and asking them about the cost of health insurances. And I think given all of the increases that we have seen in health insurance in Ireland, particularly for families and individuals, that we need to have an eye to keeping those costs as tight as possible while making the service as good as possible.
All right,
I don't see any conflict there.
All right, I'm conscious that you need to get going, so I don't want to keep you much longer, but I do want to ask you about the upcoming elections. I know that's the focus of what you're doing there today in Enfield. You've a steep challenge ahead, do you agree, in the local and the Europeans? I mean, the world was a very different place. For example, in 2009, when you dominated in four very important local councils, three in Dublin and one in Galway, you must hope to repeat that, but chances are slim.
Well, I wouldn't agree with you there. The mood at the conference today, Claire, is very upbeat. I think critically, and this is something that's already been spoken about, when we took over in government, we could have decided, like some parties, to sit on the sidelines and wait until after 2016 to enter into government. But the country was in a disastrous place, and Labour did what it has always done, its patriotic duty of actually setting out to fix the country. We now have said goodbye to the Troika. We're functioning as a normal Eurozone economy. And what's palpable here today is actually the feeling of recovery, particularly expressed by the fact that so many people are getting back to work and that, for instance, we're rolling out now a series of initiatives related to small business around the country, a series of initiatives in relation to agriculture, and particularly a whole series of schemes in my own department and in education to train and educate people and help people to get back to work. And that's borne a lot of fruit already. So the mood is upbeat. We have some really good candidates. Our two MEPs, Emer Costello in Dublin and Phil Prendergast in the South. But we also have a very good new candidate for the West of Ireland in Senator Lorraine
Higgins,
spoke very eloquently this morning. So we're, you know, I think the party is up for what's going to be taking a strong message to the doorsteps and focusing as well now on how does the recovery benefit each individual person, each community. For instance, in small towns all over Ireland and in suburbs, you have closed up, boarded up shops that were a very visible and hurtful sign of the recession. We want to see councils with policies and people on the councils which will get those shops open again and the people working in those premises.
All right.
I think that that will be a real sign of recovery, and Labour is focusing on those practical policies
okay.
around recovery and getting people back to work.
All right. Minister, you've had a fair bite of the cherry there. We'll let you go and get back to the business at hand at the Labour conference in Enfield. And we turn now to our reporter, Barry Lenehan, who's also at the Labour Party conference and joins us from there now. Barry, what's the central theme or message coming from Labour today?
Well, I suppose, Claire, to borrow from Ireland's favourite quote from Othello, the central message here in Enfield has very much been, we've done the state some service, now let's make sure they know it before the local and European elections. And unlike the Sinn Féin Ardèche last week, no policies are being agreed upon at this conference, and instead there have been several speeches reflecting positively on Labour's time in government and indeed looking ahead to those elections. The Taoiseach, Éamon Gilmore, as we were hearing on the news, was one of the first speakers this morning, and he gave quite a fiery and passionate oration, really, I suppose, in an attempt to set the tone for the rest of the day. He told delegates here that they could go out at the doorsteps of the week ahead with a degree of confidence because of Labour's performance in government. He mentioned how Fianna Fáil was in government for the Troika bailout no less than three times in little under 10 minutes. And the Taoiseach also said Labour would, as he put it, continue to ease the pressure on families across the country. But apart from that, Claire, given that Labour's 2013 National Conference is only around 3 months ago, party spin doctors are very much trying to downplay this as a low-key event, even though it's taking place in a four-star golf hotel and spa resort.
Back to the elections, Barry. Party members and representatives, are they cautious or confident with less than 100 days to go to polling?
Surprisingly confident, Claire, as we were hearing from the Minister, and I suppose given government parties' poor record in local elections, you could say in some respects blindly optimistic, but definitely confident and focused is how I describe it here in Enfield. Party chairperson Lorraine Mulligan finished her speech this morning with the words, "Let the campaign begin," and the focus here in Enfield is almost exclusively on those local and European elections. And to that end, party chiefs used their slot in RT television this morning very wisely. They squeezed speeches from 40 local election hopefuls into a two-hour broadcast, with all the speakers focusing on local issues such as local jobs and how to help struggling towns. Overall though, Claire, the party, it's putting a positive spin on those recent opinion polls which put the party at less than 10% rather, but I suppose it remains to be seen whether the optimism here in Enfield today will be a source of derision for Labour's opponents after polling day.
And Barry, what's going to happen then over the course of the afternoon and the evening?
Well, Claire, the party is holding several policy workshops and meetings this afternoon with Minister Burton, for example. She's set to host a question and answer session on how to get people back to work. But in essence, though, this afternoon, the event turns very much into a preparation event or a preparation spin for those local and European elections, with public speaking, social media and canvassing training taking place for Labour's candidates. The conference will close this evening, of course, with an address from the Labour leader on Taoiseach Éamon Gilmore, Claire. I suppose he's likely to again defend Labour's record of government, highlight what he believes are the party's achievements in office, probably name-check all Labour's ministers in government, and I suppose promise more breaks. So that group he alluded to this morning, and that group that really were Labour's vote base in 2011, that group being struggling families. But whether the electorate watching at home on RT1 television, Claire, or indeed listening in on this station at half past eight this evening, whether they'll find something appealing or indeed new in the Taoiseach's message, that's the real salient question here in Enfield and indeed heading towards May 23rd.
Barry Lenehan, thank you for joining us from the Labour Party conference. More from Barry later on, because he's been canvassing opinion amongst the Labour Party delegates about the Garda Ombudsman bugging affair. Now though, Brian Dowling from our political staff is with us in the studio. Barry, Brian, you've heard all of that. A tough road ahead, would you say, for Labour in the coming elections?
I think it's going to be very difficult for the Labour Party, and I suspect that for the Labour Party and for all parties going into this election, I think all of them will look to their percentage national vote after these elections. And I think that will be the benchmark of what amounts to success or failure. Because I think because there's a substantial reduction in the number of seats and the number of councillors, we won't be able to compare like with like in terms of the number of council seats held. So everybody will be able to spin and argue the result in terms of the number of seats. So a far more accurate way perhaps to look at this will be, what's their national, how do they do in first preference votes? What's their percentage share of the first preference vote?
So what do you reckon Labour will be looking at in terms of a number?
In the last local European elections, the Labour Party was about 14%. In the general election in 2011, they were on 19%. If you look at their polling in recent times, they are now polling back in the region of a little bit, just back in single figures in January in Red Sea, they're at 9%. they seem in the last year or so to have fallen to a pattern where historically Labour polled between 10 and 12%, thereabouts. If you that would say the period 2006, 2008, and even back much further than that. If you look at, say, 2010, at the height of the financial crisis, when the last government was descending into chaos, Labour hit record highs in Red Sea polling, hitting 26, 27%, and it gradually came down in the run to the general election. I think what the Labour Party will look to in this election will be, where do they come in nationally? If the Labour Party can get 12, 13%, they will be able to present that as a good result for a party in government that's had to make very, very tough decisions. If they remain in single figures, if they're at 9%, 8% or less, that will be a really, really bad election result.
Danger zone there. There is a school of thought that since the Troika left, that there has been more disharmony between the coalition partners. I don't know whether you have seen any of that, but that the Troika was more or less holding it all together, and now the cracks are starting to appear when there's no oversight body, if you like.
Well, the difficulty, of course, is that with a Troika present, government policy, government decisions essentially came from the Troika. The two parties in government simply had to follow a preset agenda for the most part. They were able to make minor adjustments here and there, renegotiate certain aspects of it. Now it's back to themselves. They can set the agenda themselves. And of course, with a general election 2.5 years away, everybody has their sights on that prize down the road, and everybody wants to be seen to get their policies through.
But so also, if you're Labour, you can't blame the Troika for the hard decisions anymore.
Well, you can't. That great escape valve of looking around and saying, it's not us guys, you know, we, with the best will in the world, we wouldn't have done this. It's these guys over here. Mm-hmm. The government has to take full responsibility for all the decisions. If you look to the forthcoming elections, two big issues, pylons, water charges. A big effort has been made essentially to shunt them into the sidelines in terms of real decision making, the actual water charges that people will actually pay. You'll get indicative figures of what the average might be. So there's an attempt to sort of get those off the pitch before this really starts. But I still think that even allowing for that, and there will be a lot of local opposition on those issues, the big thing will be the economy. And the question comes down to, will the Labour Party get as good a portion of the credit for the recovery that has started as Fine Gael? The evidence to date suggests they're not getting as much of the credit, and that they may be into that old pattern of the smaller party taking more of the blame and getting less of the credit. Mm-hmm. Whether they can break free from that, that's a big question. I think they have a very difficult election ahead of them.
And of course you have Eamon Gilmore saying what he said about reducing property tax as well. I mean, that was something really that was
there's a few
a break away from the from what was happening in the Troika, if you like. A bit more freedom to say stuff like that, whether you can follow through.
And strictly speaking, under the legislation, local councils will be able to determine their own rates for local property taxes. The question is, for that to be a real runner for the Labour Party, they have to have control of local councils. Now, in the last local elections in Dublin, for instance, they were the biggest party in Dublin City Council. They were the biggest party in a number of big councils, and certainly had a big influence on the rest. Will they have that level of input, that level of even control? I'm not too sure about that.
OK, Brian, thank you very much. We'll let you get back to the day job now, working on The Week in Politics, which goes out on RTE television tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night. Now, though, we're going to take a quick break. Back in a moment with more on the Garda Ombudsman Commission bugging scandal.